years about. He do 130 mile an hour, smiling at the camera with a toothpick in his mouth. He got a girl back home named Dixie Dawn, but he got honeys all along the way. And you ought to hit him screaming for the dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet. Oh, Rapid Roy, that stock car boy, he too much to believe. You know he always got an extra pack of cigarettes, a roll up in his t-shirt sleeve. He got a tattoo on his arm, I say, baby, he got another one that just say, hey. But every Sunday afternoon he is a dirt track demon in a 57 Chevrolet.
It's 10 a.m. on Monday morning. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, and this is Herd Mentality. Today I'm going to be talking with Adina Feinstein. She is in the studio, and she is an astro major here at Tufts University with some very exciting things about planets. So stick around if you want to hear about that. And then in the second half of our show, we will be doing music related to space because it seemed fitting. So that is what we'll be talking about. Adina, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. It is a pleasure. So, you are a senior here at Tufts, correct?
Correct.
Awesome. And you study astrophysics.
Yep.
Astrophysics. Okay. So, for all those who are not diehard Neil deGrasse Tyson's fans, what is astrophysics?
Astrophysics is basically the study of, you know, anything not on this planet. We're talking solar system, we're talking galaxies. We got a little bit of cosmology in there, so you
okay.
know, dark matter, dark energy, how the, you know, Big Bang stuff.
Okay, where...
Basically anything.
Yeah, where are we going, where are we from? All important questions.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So you did some research this summer with kind of a low-key group. I bet nobody's heard of them.
Super small.
They're called NASA. Yeah, and what did you do with NASA?
Yeah, so I was at NASA Goddard this summer, which is their main research base in Maryland.
Cool.
And what I was doing was I was determining ages of stars using the chemicals that are found in them.
Okay, ages of stars.
Mm-hmm.
So late teens, early 20s, midlife crises.
We're talking babies. I think one of the youngest stars I looked at was about 8 million years old.
8 million.
So,
that's nothing.
Yeah.
I have shoes older than that. So how does one age a star?
So someone ages a star by looking at gravity-sensitive indices. So young stars are puffy, right?
Puffy.
They're still settling into their, adult years.
Right. They're changing bodies.
Right.
Okay, great.
So something that's younger is going to have weaker gravity sensitive indices mm-hmm. than something that's older.
Okay.
So the indices I was looking at were these sodium doublets.
Okay.
And from the spectrum, you're actually able to see when something is weaker than something else. So I basically wrote code that went into the spectrum and was like, yes, this looks weaker than a standard adult.
Okay. Yep. So for those playing at home, when you say spectrum, you're talking like, so we can look at the light coming off of the star.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look on what people call a Fourier transform, you can see where each of the different wavelengths of light, because light travels as a wave.
You can see the absorption features.
Absorption features.
Right. So it's all the chemicals that are found in actually the star's atmosphere.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, cool. So all these different chemicals emit different, we'll call them peaks.
Yeah.
So you can see where these peaks occur and just by localizing them. And so when you say a doublet, That's two peaks, right?
Yeah. Well, they're dips. So they're like two dips that are
dips.
Really
okay.
close
Anti-peaks.
To yeah.
Okay.
So peaks are emission features and dips are absorption.
Okay.
Features.
Wonderful.
Yep.
In and out. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. So yeah. So you saw this specific type of dip mm-hmm. and you knew exactly what it was. So cool. Awesome. Mm-hmm. We love science for that reason. All right. And so what are you able to do with that?
So besides aging stars, we're also able to tell what kinds of stars they are.
Okay.
So our sun is a G-type star.
G?
Yeah. So okay. it's like mid-low type.
In mid-low what?
Mid-low in the sense of stars. So there are O stars, which are the largest. They're okay. about 30,000 Kelvin.
Okay.
And they
it's pretty
live,
hot.
They're really hot, and they're really big, and they're really blue.
Okay.
And they live for a really short amount of time,
mm-hmm.
like on the order of like 10 million years, something like that.
Nothing.
And then you move down the line, so you have O, B, A, G, which
nice.
Is our sun.
Alphabetical order, I like that.
Yes, of course. We like to keep things simple in astronomy.
Right.
So we have our sun, which is about 6,000 Kelvin.
Okay.
And we'll live for about 10 billion years.
We hope.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Cool. Okay.
And then there are K stars, which are smaller, and then M stars, which are really, really tiny.
Okay.
So they're about 70% and lower the size of the sun.
Wow.
And
okay.
they are like 5,000 to 3,000 Kelvin, and they live for basically forever. We've never seen one die.
Really?
Yep, we've never seen one die. which is really strange to think about, that
yeah.
these, you know, stars might outlive everything before
Yikes.
Dying.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll keep an eye on them. Yeah, okay.
So within these, you know, letter classifications, there are also numbers.
Okay.
Which basically just go down the temperature scale.
Cool.
So there's like M1s, M2s, all the way down to M8s. So from these spectra, we're actually able to determine like which numbers, which subcategories these stars are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So that's stars. But you saw something else, didn't you?
Yes, we were looking at a planet, actually.
A new planet?
Yep, new planet.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Describe this new planet.
So this new planet is about a 2.6 Earth radii.
Okay.
It which we categorize as a sub-Neptune.
Because it is smaller than Neptune?
Because it's smaller than Neptune, but bigger than Earth.
Okay, cool.
And we think that at around like 2 Earth radii, things stop becoming rocky.
Okay.
So this thing is going to have probably like a massive atmosphere, really gaseous.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. So new planet. And how did you know it was there?
So my fellow intern, McKenna, her project over the summer was looking at thousands of light curves from Kepler, from the Kepler K2 mission.
Okay.
And a light curve is basically you see a star and you collect the light from a star.
Mm-hmm.
And if something passes in front of the star, you're going to get a little dip.
Okay.
So these dips can be caused by planets or by, you know, binary companions or dust and all this kind of gross stuff.
Yeah.
So she had to like look by eye at these, you know, 1,000 light curves.
And oof.
The ones that we thought that were most convincing to us, we actually observed later on in the summer. And
okay, so how noticeable, like on the scale of fly in front of a spotlight to total eclipse?
Fly in front of a spotlight.
Yeah.
Even smaller, possibly.
Yikes.
It's like probably like a 0.01 like percent dip in
wow.
the light curve. Yeah, it's like.
And you could tell this by eye.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well. I'm glad you guys can,
yeah.
and I'll do
that
other
I didn't
stuff.
Do it. I wouldn't have caught any of them.
Okay, so that's very cool. What do we call this new star? Or new, not star. We know what the new star is. What do we call this new planet?
The planet doesn't have a name yet.
Doesn't have a name yet?
Doesn't have a name yet because, you know, we've submitted our paper, and we have to wait for it to get approved before it gets an official name.
Okay. And does anybody else know about this planet yet?
Yeah, other, you know, researchers know about the planet.
Okay, so is there like a space race going on here to get credit for this planet?
There was a little bit of a space race.
Okay.
There was a, I don't want to call them like a competing group because, you know, science is all about collaboration.
Right.
But basically another group came forward and said, hey, we found this planet too.
Mm-hmm.
And our group was like, oh, well... So we wanted to do like a co-publication instead of, you know, fighting for it, essentially. So we wrote our paper in about, you know, 5 days to get it in.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was really stressful. It was really cool to see it like come together on the Share LaTeX document, though.
Yeah.
Because like one day there was nothing there, and then the next day there were like 5 sections and yeah. Like, figures.
How long do you have to make a paper to prove the existence of a planet?
This paper was about 9 pages.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that's like a minimum, maximum requirement.
Okay. So like there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's
all
a lot
right.
of information.
Got some pictures. Yeah. Some charts.
Mm-hmm. you know, some spectra that I did. You know.
Nice. Cool. All right. Hey. So you're
I'm
almost
co-author.
Published officially.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome. So why don't we take a quick break? Let that settle in for everybody who just is blown away by the thought of there being more amazing planets to look at. Can they even see this from Earth? Okay, cool. Well, they can dream.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. We'll let that settle in and we'll be right back. You're listening to Herd Mentality on 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm here with Adina, and we are talking astrophysics, some cutting-edge stuff, and we want to know where this is going. So we found a new star. Well,
we knew about the star.
We knew about the star. We now know something new about this star in that it has a planet friend.
It does have a planet friend.
Awesome.
It actually has 3 planet friends.
3 planet friends.
Which we didn't mention before.
Okay.
But that's what the co-group, the other group that published,
right.
know, found that there
okay,
were.
Okay, so your group focused on
the one planet and the fact that it's actually a binary system.
Right. Let's talk about that real quick. Binary system just being two stars
you know, orbiting around
dancing.
The center of mass, yeah.
Because I've always heard that, like, our solar system is weird. Like, we're weird that
yeah.
we just have one.
Yeah.
Right?
We're weird.
Okay.
About 50-ish percent of, like, stars in the Milky Way are binary systems.
Oh, we have a weird galaxy.
Yeah.
Weird.
We're very strange.
Okay.
Actually, we almost would have been a binary system if Jupiter were more massive.
Huh.
Just a little bit
it's
more.
It's always Jupiter. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Well, okay. We tried. All right. So binary system. So you wanted to make sure it wasn't just the other star passing in front, blocking out the light mm-hmm. for that blip.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So you're pretty sure?
Yeah.
All the data indicates it's a planet.
All of those, you know, pretty figures that I saw were very convincing.
Okay. We'd love to hear it. All right. So yeah. So what can people take away from that?
You know? I guess, you know, besides the fact that this is just another planet to add to the list of thousands that have already been detected.
Sure.
You know, we're probably not alone in the Milky Way, which is, you know, a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of egos on this planet, I can only imagine. Well, so that's what, so you were saying earlier before the show that all the planets basically that we've been able mm-hmm. to see are just in our galaxy, right?
Yep.
And so you're saying thousands in our galaxy.
Yeah.
That's great. How many galaxies, ballpark, are there that we can think exist?
Probably more than like 10,000.
More than 10,000. All right. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff floating around.
Yeah.
Around us. Okay. So just
bear that in mind.
So as everybody's starting their week and going forward, trying to think about, you know, what's important.
Yep.
All right. Just divide by 10 billion. Cool.
It's so scary.
Yeah. So what's some other stuff that people can keep their eye on for you know, cutting edge stuff in the world of astro?
Yeah, so most of the planets that were found currently were from the Kepler K2 mission.
Okay.
But, you know, obviously, well, maybe not obviously, but we've got like the James Webb Space Telescope coming up, launching
right.
in the late 2018.
So that is kind of a replacement for Hubble, right?
Yeah.
Not like a replacement, but like a new...
Yeah, it's like a step up from Hubble,
right.
Essentially.
An improvement.
Yes.
Okay.
And before we have James Webb, we have a few other smaller missions that are actually going to focus more on planet detection.
Okay.
So we have TESS, which is the Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, mm-hmm. which is launching, hopefully, fingers crossed, next March.
Okay.
And that's going to observe millions of stars.
Woof.
Yeah.
Okay.
Millions. Those, like, orders of magnitude higher than Kepler
okay.
did. So we're...
Where is Kepler? Is that a satellite that's
yep,
floating around?
Yep, Kepler's a little
okay.
satellite.
Cool. yeah, what else? What else?
We have WFIRST, which is... I don't remember what it stands for. But fun story about WFIRST
okay.
is that the telescopes that are being used are actually, like, two former spy telescopes
oh.
that were just, like, lying around. And, you know, they approached NASA, and they're like, hey, NASA, do you want to use these telescopes for something? And they were like, yeah, sure.
Yes, please.
And they had the one condition that they can't point the telescopes down at Earth.
Okay.
Because they'd probably be able to see
just everything.
A lot.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's those two missions are coming up.
Wow, I had no idea, as I'm sure many other listeners. It's hard to stay tuned into
these. I didn't know before the summer either.
Okay,
so.
Cool. That's true. You were right in the heart of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are interesting times to be in the scientific community, but I'm glad there are many people such as yourself who are able to really be passionate about it. Yeah. I don't know. So we'll wrap it up in a couple minutes here. But is there anything else people should really know? I bet there's somebody sitting at home who has no idea what astrophysics is, and they would love to learn more about it. What's like where's an easy place to start?
An easy place to start.
Or like a cool thing.
I would probably say like the TV show Cosmos.
Cosmos.
Yeah.
Okay.
I watched it.
Yeah.
It was a little too beginner for me.
Okay, fair.
But it was really like the graphics were cool.
Okay, so it's easy to visualize.
Yeah.
All right.
Easier than like a radio show.
Cool. Well, yeah, that's fair. And then is there anywhere people can go if they want to learn more about, you know, the stuff NASA's doing? I mean, I'm assuming they can just Google NASA. Yeah. Any key players they should keep their eyes on?
Key players.
Yeah.
Sarah Sager. Yeah, she's been one of my idols since I started like astrophysics. I started reading her publications when I was like, like 16 probably. She's a huge, huge figure in the exoplanet field. She's actually over at MIT.
Cool.
And I met her the other week, and I fangirled pretty hard, I'm not gonna lie.
Nice. Okay.
But yeah, she's really cool, and her work is really cool. And
how long has she been doing? Was she on Voyager at all?
I don't think she was on Voyager.
Okay, so more recent than that.
Yeah.
My dad and I watched NOVA about Voyager the other day, so that's all that I know about astro is everything Voyager did.
It was a long time ago.
It was. Well, you know, they're still kicking around up
there,
floating around. Yeah, well, awesome. I know you have somewhere to be, so I won't hold you too long. What's one fun story about Tufts before you go?
Oh, no.
Is that too hard?
Yeah, that's really hard.
That's really hard. All right, I won't torture you with it. All right. Well, I guess we'll just call it there then. Well, thank you so much for teaching us a little bit about astrophysics. I know there is so much more to discuss, but now we know, A, that you can see planets as if they are just a fly in front of a spotlight, and B, once you do, you can kind of prove that they exist and what kind they are, which is crazy. Because none of us will ever probably get there, because it's, 150 light years away?
Yeah, this one's about 150 light years away. But the closest one is only, 4 light years away.
So, okay.
You know, only 4.
So if we could, you know, go really, really fast, it'd take 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay. That'd be a heck of a vacation.
I don't think I'd want
to
go.
No, it's a lot. That's a lot. All right, well, thank you so much for coming on. I have a very appropriate song to play you out. This has been Herd Mentality on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford. Tune in next week for hopefully more interesting people and discussions. Thank you, Adina.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Packed my bags last night, pre-flight. 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much, I miss my wife. It's lonely out in space on such a timeless flight.
You're listening to Herd Mentality on 91.5 FM, Medford, WMFO. My name's Thomas Keller. Hopefully you enjoyed my brief interview with Adina. She is a very smart person in the physics department here at Tufts. And with that in mind, we are playing songs about space, which I understand is a very vast topic to choose, but people really like writing songs about space. So you just heard Elton John's Rocket Man there, parentheses, I think it's going to be a long, long time. off of his album Honky Chateau from way back when. We're just going to keep it going with some more music because I'm still under the weather and talking is always a little rough with a sore throat. But before I do, I just want to plug a quick thing that we're doing here at Tufts, kind of a PSA, if you will. So this is part of our summer, not summer, fall 2017 Sunday concert series. So every Sunday, basically in our very gorgeous auditorium here at Tufts University, we have free concerts. So you just show up, there is some free parking on campus and a lot of metered parking and other parking nearby. And you just show up and you can come to the wonderful music this week on November 5th, because we just had one last night, which was, they played the orchestral score during a live screening of the classic film Frankenstein. So the Tufts Wind Ensemble played the orchestral, the soundtrack to the movie while it happened, which I think is amazing that they do that. So coming up November 5th is this show called Chorus Pro Musica in Childhood's Thicket. And so basically it's by composer Andy Vores. And what they do is they're exploring kind of the things you go through as a child while trying to find a place and like an identity. So it's kind of a poetry mixed with gorgeous music and using a lot of modern, you know, production techniques for live sound, like looping and, you know, superimposing tracks over one another. So it's a very modern take on this kind of expressionist. I don't even know how to describe it. So it's indescribable. You should come and show up. It'll be free, open to everyone, adults, kids, everybody should show up. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. That's November 5th at, oh gosh, when is it? Nighttime? Okay, 6:30 p.m. 6:30 p.m. Nope, not 6:30 p.m. Google it. it's evening. If you get there at... Nope, they're at 3 p.m. Look at that. Okay, I found it. Thank God. Okay, so 3 p.m., November 5th, Tufts Granoff Music Center. Show up for a free show. That'll be cool and original. Highly recommended. All right, that's enough jibber jabber from me. We're going to keep it rolling with songs about space here on Herd Mentality on WMFO.
pay no attention while I'm getting spaced out. Ooh. If you can't spell it, well, you can do it all. Spell it with me, S-P-A-C. And we all die, we all die, but not I. I don't live here, I live in the cosmos. The cosmos, the cosmos. When you stay up late,
Porches with The Cosmos off their 2013 album Slow Dance in the Cosmos. And before that, we heard Beach House with their song Space Song off their album Depression Cherry. Both of those bands actually have some new releases. Beach House just put out a kind of a B-sides thing. B-sides and rarities, they're calling it, which is a lot of... Yeah, it's not like a straight up LP, but it's certainly worth a listen if you're a Beach House fan. And then Porches has a new single that they just dropped a few days ago. Big fan of Porches. I saw them this summer. They opened for Andrew Bird and Belle and Sebastian down at the waterfront. So very fun band. Do check them out. If you're a Frankie Cosmos fan, she was singing backup in that song. So there's just a lot of talk about space today. Cosmos left and right. So we're keeping it on track, keeping it about space, because space is cool and vast and forever expanding, whether we like it or not. Kind of, you know, humbling. We got nothing on it. We got nothing. All right, yeah, well, let's listen to more music, how about, and not think about how vast and scary the rest of the universe is. Yeah, okay. Cool.
How would you like me to spend this tonight? just trying to stay alive. You have no illusion.
Tropic of Capricorn is below.
That set you heard first, the song Play to No One by Two Inch Astronaut. So that's why I'm keeping it on theme. That first song was not about space, but the band is vaguely, so we'll count it. And then after that, we heard The Commander Thinks Aloud by The Long Winters, a song they wrote back in, I think, 2013 about the Space Shuttle Columbia, which, of course, was when... you know, the fateful day when we lost seven great people in a tragic way. So that's actually a very good podcast my mother showed me, kudos mom, about why the Long Winters wrote that show. So if you Google the Long Winters, The Commander Thinks Aloud, I'm sure you can find that podcast. They talk about a lot of the process that went into that song, because that is not... I believe that's atypical, because they brought in a very special drummer on that track, who did some really cool things to kind of capture the emotion that they were trying to convey. So yeah, the other side of space, it's big and it's scary, but I think most of us are still securely down here on Earth, so we don't have too much to worry about. Well, we are nearing the end of the set here. Unheard Mentality. So we got a couple more songs, some more classic songs on the theme of space, just to keep you thinking, keep your head slightly in the clouds today, because it's good to take a trip now and then. So we'll just keep on moving through here on WMFO.
Show me what
And that, of course, was the wonderful dulcet tones of Radiohead off that very important album, OK Computer. That was Subterranean Homesick Alien, which I'm sure some of us feel like on occasion. All right, last song today. We'll just bring it on home with... I couldn't play a space song if I didn't play a space. I could not play a space set if I did not play this song. So thank you so much for listening once again. This is Herd Mentality. I'm Thomas Keller. Tune in every Monday morning at 10 a.m. to hear interesting people talk and wonderful music abound on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom. Commencing countdown, engines on. 3, 2, check ignition, 1. And may God's love lift be off with you. Stars look very different today.